Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. So today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the role of human goodness in the process of revealing spiritual identity. In this show, we will discuss the importance of transcending human goodness and accepting only spiritual identity because there is no power in human goodness. Listen as Swami explains the limitations found in material beliefs and acceptance of the false mortal sense of humanhood. In this show, we are learning to live beyond the physical senses and attune to the divine principle. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience spiritual identity. So, Swami, we've titled today's show, Human Goodness for Spiritual Identity. What exactly do we mean by human goodness?
Well, I think we're talking about conduct. I think the single most important point in this show is that human goodness does not equal spiritual identity. We need the conduct to make the connection, but the conduct doesn't equal the connection. That this idea of spiritual identity is crucial, that we really have to come out of the belief in matter. We have to come out of the belief in mortality. And we have to assume a new identity, which is limitless and immortal, eternal, unchanging. Because most of us are striving to be good humans, and we think that life is some sort of testing ground where we are graded on our conduct. It doesn't play out like that. That we're really dealing with what we call the physics of spirituality.
Well, just like you say, if there is really no such thing as human goodness, then there really can't be bad either.
Right. And the whole realm of good and bad really comes out of the law of karma, which comes out of the belief in matter. So it's a level of consciousness that we're really working with. And more you start to see that this game of life is just a simple mind game. And everything is going to be contingent upon how we're thinking. And what we're learning is that we must forsake these modes of mortal thought. We have to forsake this sense level of living, period, and we have to graduate into spiritual identity. And that's where the benefits start to reveal themselves.
Well, so I have a question for you. I read in my Bible studies this morning about the Good Samaritan and how this man brings the sick person to an inn and then gives the innkeeper this money and says, make sure he gets whatever he wants, and then I'll be sure to pay for it. But the whole lesson behind that story was to have this sense of compassion. So how does human goodness and compassion work together?
Well, again, we start with the two primary commandments. We must love divine presence. We must love this concept of God. And then we must love our neighbor as ourself. Everything here really points to graduating from a personal sense and a perspective of life where there are many to the understanding that everything is just one, that there is just one divine life. And all of the appearances are just human thought about what is really here, which is this one divine presence. But if we continue to accept humanhood, if we continue to accept the belief that we are a corporeal, finite creature, then there's no advancement from that. And one of the biggest misconceptions out there is that to continue to work at that level will lead you to spiritual identity or spiritual understanding. We have to know the function of this concept of goodness. And the more we understand that we need the conduct, but it's really more about the connection. We really have to draw from this divine presence. And the only way that we can do that is to assume the identity, which is something we've been saying all along is found in the physics of spirituality, that like attracts like, and two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. And so if we assume mortality and we assume physical identity, then we are not qualified to be able to hold our consciousness in constant relation with this divine presence.
So we're talking about human goodness, which is what you were talking about before, the law of karma. And then we have divine goodness, which I would think the divine goodness comes naturally when you have this connection, but it is a different type of goodness.
Right, because it's not goodness that can become bad, that it's absolute goodness. It is comes under the realms of spirit, which is the realms of the whole. See, there's only one spirit. There's only one divine life. And as we start to come out of the personal sense that is seeing us as separate, and we start to assimilate identity that now merges itself with this one divine presence, there's a loss of personal sense, but there is a gain with regard to the absolute. And so when you move from material values and material beliefs into the realms of spiritual understanding, all the rules change. You come out of the law of karma, which is basically the cycle of death and rebirth, and you are now in the changeless state of being, which is eternal life.
Well, can we still be able to help our neighbor, for example, and be the Good Samaritan? Can we still do that and then not expect anything of a return, like not expecting the gold star for the good conduct? Because we still, like you say, we want to still be able to help our neighbor.
Right. But when you shift your level of consciousness from, again, there is a me and a neighbor, to loving your neighbor as yourself, that it's not me and another person out there, that all there really is this one divine life coming forth as itself, of itself, in itself, and to itself. So it's a whole different mode of operation. It's a different level of consciousness that once we have achieved this spiritual identity, and we are now holding consciousness to divine presence, then we start to see that there's only this one divine life. So your neighbor is yourself.
Well, I remember you were talking last Thursday at the Theory 2 class that this divine presence is here and now, and everything that we're looking at, the table, the chair, the counter, everything, that is God revealing itself as whatever it is that we're looking at. Is that what you're talking about right now as well?
Right. That's a shift in awareness that we develop. That's what this practice is all about. You really want to, rather than reacting to the testimony of the five senses, you want to pierce through that, and you want to acknowledge the divine presence that is standing right where this appearance seems to be. And so that's a big shift, or at least it was for me. And this is what the Bible means when it talks about think differently, to repent, that we really have to change our mode of operation, our base of operation from material to spiritual.
Well, we have said in the summary that we're going to explain the limitations found in material beliefs and this acceptance of the false mortal sense of humanhood. Can you just give us some human examples of what that might be so we can be on the lookout?
Right. The minute we accept mortality, we are now in a lifespan, that you have a life that seemingly had a beginning and will have an end at some point. And so that's the major limitation of accepting mortality. Because if you're an eternal spiritual being, there is no beginning and there is no end. That this is a continuation, it's a continuous life experience. And our acceptance of material form, material beliefs, keeps us in that trap.
So I'm wondering if you can talk more about the spiritual identity.
See, the Bible says, ask in my name. And when this is understood to mean likeness, then we have a game plan. We must assume spiritual identity in order to communicate with divine life. This takes place as we start to cultivate spiritual sense, which means we're learning how to communicate without words or thoughts, but we're moving into the realm of what we'll call ideas. Because that's the difference. The human mortal mind thinks in terms of thoughts. Divine mind thinks in terms of ideas. Mortal thought is rational, and it functions on contrast, which we experience in the realms of duality. Whereas divine mind functions in the absolute, in the realms of wholeness. And so there's no contrast, there's no separation in spirit. And so spiritual ideas are not the same as what we're accustomed to communicating with on a material sense level.
We've already talked about that we want to learn to live beyond these physical senses and attune to the divine principle. And again, we were talking on the theory class on Thursday about this practice. So how can we practice to attune to this divine principle?
It's kind of like what we talked about the ninth commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Not love your neighbor as your neighbor, but as this one divine presence. And by us piercing through the testimony of our senses, which means that we're looking past the appearance, the conduct, the behavior, and we're starting to see that what is really there is this one divine life. And the more we understand that spirit is cause, and when spirit is cause, creation is perfect, which means that the only thing that we want to be able to accept is the perfection of being. So anything that falls short of that, we can actually reject. And the reason we can reject it is because it's not backed by divine law. All it is relying on for its existence is belief. So if we continue to believe in the form, we continue to believe in the material appearance that is before us, then we continue to react to that. As we start to pierce through that, and we start to understand that the only thing that can be there is this divine presence, and what I'm experiencing is just my thought about that, and now I understand that I can change how I think. And in this operation, what we've been talking about, the practice of coming out of the modes of mortal thought, and starting to think with divine mind.
Well, I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, I'm hoping we can get back to goodness and divine ideas. So I think we understand that human goodness is conduct. And as you said earlier, conduct doesn't equal the connection. But let's talk more about the goodness with the capital G, meaning from the divine, and the divine ideas. What is the correlation there?
Well, see, goodness may be utilized in the process of making thought buoyant. The whole idea here is that we want to try and raise human consciousness to the level of the divine idea. So we're really trying to find that place where my thought is the same as the divine idea, which is essential in order for us to communicate with spirit. And in us finding that place in consciousness where my thought is the same as divine idea is where this thought unity takes place. But what we want to work with is lifting our thoughts to meet divine idea, because you can't bring divine idea down to the human mortal level. So we have to fill our thought with the fruits of the divine, things that would be reflecting the divine qualities. That's what we want to fill our thoughts with. And provided that we can let go of our material moorings, our belief that we are a finite mortal creature, and we can start to identify with this invisible, intangible divine presence, which is our life, then we can start to find that place where our mind becomes an avenue of awareness for divine mind.
I used to think, well, the universe listens and speaks back with pictures, so I would mentally try to make these visuals, but that's not right either.
Right. Isn't that one of the commandments about graven images? Yeah, we really have to rise into a better understanding of and cultivation of spiritual sense. Moving from this world to thy kingdom, and thy kingdom is whole, it's complete, it's fulfilled. And this world is incomplete information about this divine kingdom. Developing spiritual sense really is kind of like cultivating your language for the absolute. The thing that I try and work with is the simple fact that spirit is invisible and intangible, and matter is visible and tangible, and mind is invisible but tangible. But spirit is invisible and intangible. So what I'm really looking for is silence and stillness. I'm looking for no stimulation in my five senses.
So I see in our notes here that you have a pretty good example of what goodness is to relationship with spirit. I wonder if you could maybe review that with our listeners.
Yeah, if you understand how a siphon works, it could be helpful to understand how keeping human thought in constant relation with the divine works. That goodness is the siphon. And if you've ever siphoned, say, for example, gasoline or water out of a container into another container, the primary thing is you must fill that hose with the liquid that you're going to try and siphon. By filling our thoughts with divine ideas, that's what creates the siphon. What is of the utmost importance here is that we draw from divine mind, and that we don't draw from the outside world, and we don't draw from the realms of mortal thought. And as long as we are drawing from divine mind, then we can start to expect things to change in our external appearances.
Earlier, you had mentioned a phrase, you had said, spirit is cause. But what exactly do you mean by spirit is cause?
Well, here we're talking about the relationship between cause and effect, the laws of reflection. You know, what you put out is what you get back. The main thing here is when spirit is cause, creation is perfect. See, we're talking about like attracts like. And to identify with matter, we're going to get fear and limitation. And if we identify with mortal mind, we're going to get more of the same, fear and limitation. But to identify with spirit, we get truth and wholeness. And this is the truth that makes us free. And what it makes us free from is the law of karma. So us drawing from spirit has a profound effect on the appearance, the external appearance, because it has the template for perfect creation.
So what you're saying is, so what we draw from is going to determine who we are. So if we draw from this, the human aspects, that's what we're always going to be, is in this mortal creature. But if we can draw from this spiritual identity, then we would therefore be eternal spiritual beings.
Right. And that comes back to what we have been saying all along. See, how we think is what we become. One of the major things that we learn about spiritual identity is that it is forgiving. And another thing that we learned about material identity, it is about forgetting. And so, one, you're drawing off of what is visible and tangible, what is external to you. And the other one, you are connected to an inexhaustible resource, and the exchange of energy is you're constantly pouring outward. That in order for us to demonstrate this divine presence, you really have to give it away. You have to give it out from within yourself. You can't hoard this. It's not something that you can put in the closet or in the bank for yourself. That is something that we must practice on a regular basis. And once you start relying on spiritual presence and you start to get more and more proficient at it, then the more you're pouring out.
You have a statement here in your notes that says goodness, and this is with a capital G, is a divine quality, but it can only function in spirit. So we still have to have this connection in order to have this goodness with the capital G.
Right. And the Yoga Sutras support constant practice of detachment and continuous restraint of the thought variations. In Christian Science, I like what Mary Baker Eddy says, and she says something very similar, if not the same thing. In Miscellany, she says, to live so as to keep human consciousness in constant relation with the divine, the spiritual, and the eternal, is to individualize infinite power, and this is Christian Science. The more connected we are to this divine presence, the more we identify with ourselves spiritually, the more of this infinite power.
Now, the quote from Mary Baker Eddy that you just recited, as well as the explanation of the Kriya Yoga Sutras, does sound like these are definitely instructions for us to do something. And as Mary Baker Eddy says, to live so as to keep human consciousness in constant relation with the divine. What do you think that looks like when we're doing that?
Yeah, I think that's what we were talking about, like attracts like, or even constant practice of detachment in the Yoga Sutras. What they're really saying is that you want to be detached from your material sense, from your human modes of thinking, and you want to be attached to this divine presence. That's why your first stage in yoga, or the yamas, and your fifth yama is brahmacharya, carrier of Brahman. Or in Christian Science, to love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. That you really want to be connected to something that is pure, it's powerful, it's sacred, and it's never going to fail you. And if we continue to draw from these limited modes or realms of consciousness, then we continue to display the imperfections that come with that. But the more that we are attuned to spirit, to divine presence, then these become instructions in how to exercise our dominion. Because human dominion is simply attunement to this divine law, this divine presence.
Now, you've said before, and all along, you've always said, we must become spirit to activate this divine law in our experience.
Yeah, beyond material sense level living, beyond the law of opposites, and the law of karma, and the belief in two powers, is the realm of oneness, unity, wholeness, and truth, which is absolute goodness. And we must become spirit to activate this divine law in our experience.
And that's what we're learning to do now, trying to understand and know that everything is spirit, everything that we look at, everybody that we see, God is all.
Right. And isn't that what Yogi Bhajan said? If you don't see God everywhere, you don't see God anywhere. You can't operate this in parts, that the unfolding may come gradually to you, but in truth, spirit is one, it's complete. And you can't be partially spiritual. If things are still not clear and pristine to you, then you're still operating from the realms of human thought. And so that's where we're working and changing how we're thinking. Because that thought unity is found between divine mind and the real man. And the real man is the divine idea. It's our spiritual sense of who we are. It's not the mortal creature. So in order for us to make this connection and to start to demonstrate this with any kind of certainty, we really have to assume spiritual identity.
So being attached to our mortal ways of thinking gives us a limited sense. But if we can attune to this spiritual identity, then now we become limitless. And as you said earlier, the spirit starts to outflow from us.
Right. And that will have a profound effect on your external experiences. You will start to demonstrate this divine presence.
Well, it is about that time we have to start breaking down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there on the homepage, you'll see a fading banner. When it says Blog Talk Radio Show, you can click that banner on. That will bring you to the radio show catalog. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to go move way beyond human goodness and worrying about our conduct and really start to revel in this connection and start to demonstrate it with a certain degree of proficiency. And with that, namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.